I can't find the sugar.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Saturday morning cereal. Thanks to Maddie P. As always, I am your host, Grim Shea. Joining me, Marky. Say hi to the people, Marky.
Hello, y'all.
Today, since we've already covered cereal, I thought we'd talk a little bit more about cartoons, specifically Adult Swim on the Cartoon Network. Mark, are you familiar with this thing?
Yes,
this Adult Swim.
I've been made aware. I've been made aware of such a thing.
And most likely our viewers are too. But just in case, let me tell you, listeners, viewers, whatever you might be, Adult Swim is a little subset from the Turner-owned Cartoon Network.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, after that went on the air, and they were broadcasting, you know, old classic cartoons 24 hours a day.
Yep.
God bless basic cable. There were some interns who worked there who had access to this giant library of all the cartoons that Turner owns.
Like Hanna-Barbera kind of stuff.
Like Hanna-Barbera is a big stable, and a lot of people think Hanna-Barbera is just
Jetsons
and Scooby-Doo.
Flintstones,
and that's it. But they were literally dozens of other cartoons.
They were like Droopy Dog. And
that would come out.
All those other characters.
No, and those are just the successful ones. There were plenty of other ones that never made it.
Johnny Quest.
Well, I would even argue that's pretty successful.
That's very
compared
successful.
To
you're right.
The very first one they did, and this was just interns messing around with stock footage, and they started dubbing over some of the words to try and make fun. Like, I think they were just killing time, basically. But they ended up getting some funny results, and they went to the higher-ups, and they said, you know what? You know, maybe we shouldn't be broadcasting cartoons all night long. Maybe we can do something with a more adult theme in mind.
Right.
Thus, and they got the green light at some point. They said, sure, since this is all free cartoon footage that we own anyway, and you don't mind hanging out all night and dubbing it, go for it. And bang, Adult Swim was born with the very first one, I believe, was the C-Lab 2021.
Now, was that actual like an animation thing?
That was an actual animation thing, and the original stuff was all animation from C-Lab 2020, which was a real show, like back in the 60s or 70s. It was kind of a Johnny Quest kind of looking in the character designs, heavy on the science, and actually rather boring as well. I've seen some of them. So
when does this get into the Adult Swim kind of...
Well, this was how they sold it.
This is the beginnings of that.
They said, you know what? C-Lab 2020, show about a bunch of undersea explorers or scientists who lived in isolation in a little laboratory at the bottom of the ocean. And they said, well, you know what? What happens after they're down there for a year and everyone kind of loses their mind? So they, you know, started taking clips of the show, dubbing in new dialogue, and making them just do and say crazy things like they'd all gone nuts. And
cabin fever.
Yeah, absolutely. And so C-Lab 2021 was born.
Mm-hmm.
And it was big enough and popular enough, and they were smart enough to keep it short, you know, like 10, 11-minute episodes for the viewer less inclined to pay attention, like myself.
I'm the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just give them a little bit of credit, too, because... I mean, I know that this is going to lead into some of their more live action stuff, you know, like their Eagle Heart or give me some of the other shows.
Over the years they've got Saul and the Mole Men. You mean for the live action?
Right.
Oh yeah, they've got NTSF, SUV. They picked up Children's Hospital.
Children's Hospital, that's a big one.
They also they probably get enough credit for this, but they're the ones that kept Family Guy alive.
Of course they
did. They bought it from Fox after it was...
And they sold it back to them like at a huge...
I hope they made a lot of money. I'm not quite sure how much. I assume they did make something. But, yeah, they were the ones who first started airing more, or making new.
Right.
You know, they kept it alive when Fox had written it off. I think they tried to do the same thing for home movies. Never got any more made, but it was a place for people to watch it. A lot of stuff that was considered sort of animated cult stuff, you know, because the 90s saw, after The Simpsons, this glut of primetime animation. And a lot of it just didn't go as far as anyone wanted. But Adult Swim was starting to get their legs underneath them, as it were, and they saw what was going on, and they tried to buy as many of the good cartoons just to keep them alive. So bless them for that. And
I'm going to give them a little. I'm going to give them a little bit of credit here, because at least they thought ahead, you know, because it was called Cartoon Network, right? And then now there's a Cartoon Network and there's an Adult Swim channel, correct?
No, I believe Adult Swim is still on Cartoon Network.
So it's still just a subset of that. Now, so at a certain point in time, does it just switch from Cartoon Network and it says, okay, now we're a whole new station?
Yeah, I think it's like 9:30 at night or something.
Not
every night, but I think most nights. And then by midnight, I think their Adult Swim is always running their reruns of old shows.
So when things are considered to be on Adult Swim, is that more a thing of like that's all the original programming of that of the Cartoon Network? And so if you say that something's on Cartoon Network, you're kind of saying that that's kind of a syndicated rerun kind of cartoon. Is that really what happens here?
Well, no, I think Cartoon Network has their own original programming now as well. You know,
so it's still...
It started out as just like a dumping ground for old cartoons.
Uh-huh.
But now I think they've put enough money into it. And and it is two different things. You've got your Cartoon Network during the day, and then at night it switches to Adult Swim. So quite often I'll turn on my TV in the morning or the afternoon, and it's on like Phineas and Herb or something. Mm-hmm. Because it was on Adult Swim earlier.
Nickelodeon did this, right? They used to, you know, do all their, like, Nickelodeon, you know, Can't Believe You Can't Do That on Television, Dennis the Menace and all that stuff. And then they came up with Nick at Night.
Yeah, exactly. And
but
Adult
now
Swim
that's
owes something
channel,
to Nick
though.
At Night. Yeah, they
yeah.
did. I think now they have 7 or 8 channels for Nick
for,
at Night stuff.
For the
Nickelodeon
TV stuff.
And
yeah.
stuff like that. Yeah. But as far as I know, Cartoon Network still just hosts the actual cartoons and... And now all the original Adult Swim stuff. And speaking of which, we are lucky enough to talk to one of the stars of one of the new live action, well, not new, it's been around for a few seasons, but the live action show Eagle Heart. We're going to talk
show.
To the lovely, oh my God, the lovely Maria Thayer.
She is gorgeous.
Oh, I'm so
and
excited to do
it. I don't like to be the guy that just automatically just kind of, you know, whittles everything down to how good somebody looks. But she makes it easy.
Oh,
yeah.
She is funny and gorgeous, and she seems so nice. And I hope
and talented. My gosh,
she must
she's
be the
everything
head
you've
excited.
Seen before. She's in all kinds of stuff. I mean, anyway, we're going to get to that, right?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, let's take a quick break and then let's talk to Maria Thayer. I am really getting excited about this.
Let's do this.
All right, geeks, hold on tight. We're coming back. Oh, with Maria Thayer. All right, everybody, thank you for joining us. We've got a real treat with Maria Thayer on the line. Busy actress. Maybe if you've got a taste, you've seen her in Strangers with Candy. She's been in Law & Order, 30 Rock. You've seen her in just about every show you've probably seen, in fact, and even Arrested Development. Even the hardcore fans might not realize that. And she is also, you can see her starting November 14th on Adult Swim, Thursdays at midnight, season 3 premiere of Eagle Heart, hilarious show. And Maria, why don't you tell us about that? I love that show.
Thank you. Oh, really? Thank you. Thanks for that nice intro. Tell you about Eagle Heart. It's this surreal... comedy created by Michael Coleman and Andrew Weinberg and along with Jason Wallner on Adult Swim, and it's starring me and Chris Elliott. Did I already say that? I'm moving track. I'm like looping around.
Oh, it's all gold.
I actually think that the this is Markey. Hi.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Hi.
Markey.
But I think the reason why you're having such a hard time with it is because no one really can tell what the hell the show is. I mean, this is
no,
it's really
and it
out
changes
there.
Every season too.
Right. It's just it's so out there and fun funny and interesting, right?
Yeah. And we actually we just recently talked to Jason and Andrew, and they were talking about this newest season coming up and how it's actually got like a real story arc to it.
Yes.
Which is a
yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was every episode sort of bleeds into the other one. Like every episode is its own story, but then put them all together, it's one long, completely insane, epic journey that Chris and I go on. And I just got to see a little bit of it last night. I don't know if you've seen any of the episodes, if they sent you any of them, but I got to see a few of them last night, and it sort of looks really great, and it's funny, and, you know, I think the whole show, I was already a fan. It's like, it's not often that I get to do, I mean, I've been lucky enough to do a lot of stuff that I like, but, you know, not everything. And this is a show that I would watch even if, you know, if I had nothing to do with it, if I didn't know these guys. I just think it's such a creative,
so sincere,
crazy,
too.
You know.
I really want to believe that. That's wonderful.
That's true.
Well, no, that's good. One thing that Mark E. and I have been talking about today is Adult Swim as a phenomenon. And people, it's one of those things, people love it or hate it, but it obviously has a home because it's pretty popular. If you're not familiar, by the way, Adult Swim is like a subsect of the Cartoon Network geared strictly for adults, and they've even veered away from cartoons quite a bit. But
they have quite a few live action stuff now, shows. Yeah, I it's a strange place. I mean, they would never. It's Eagle Heart could not exist anywhere else. I can't imagine it. You know, on CBS.
Broke Girls followed by Eagle Heart is not Wednesday night viewing at all.
And it's also funny.
That's the lineup.
So there you go.
I'm always excited to meet Eagle Heart fans, and I always want to put them in some category of a person, you know, like they're all guys or they're all this. But I've met a lot of people that types of people that like the show and watch Adult Swim. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's something. Personally, I think it's something about our generation. You know, growing up with cartoons, and that was the highlight of the week. I don't. Did you watch cartoons growing up, like Saturday morning or after school?
On like Saturday morning. Do they still have cartoons on Saturday morning, or are they just like all the time? So Saturday morning isn't a special time.
That's actually that's our theory now. Is that there are so many things that are available, and so it's not as big a deal as it may have been.
Yeah.
When all of us were kids.
Yeah. It's not identified with Saturday mornings, I think, anymore.
Right.
But just only because as we got older, we said no, we demand now cartoons right after school, and now we demand them in prime time. And
thanks a lot, Cartoon Network.
And our generation got what they demanded. What a bunch of jerks we are.
Well, it's just a bunch of whiny infants, which is that's kind of the whole point here, is that we do not grow up.
What'd you say?
We don't grow up. I think that's part of the
problem. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I miss that. I remember going over to my cousin's house, and when we'd sleep over, my brother and I, they would wake us up at 6 a.m. to watch cartoons. We'd just, start the... You know, we just sit there for hours.
Oh, those were magical times, I think.
Maybe it is
that we've just gotten too much of what we want, but I still miss those. I don't think we'll ever really recapture that. So I'm a little misty-eyed about it.
You are.
But then again, I did spend all afternoon, and I got to thank you, Maria, because whenever we do these interviews, I try to, whether I'm familiar with them or not, whoever the guest is, I try and refresh myself on their body of work, you know, watch a couple episodes of things they're in. With you this afternoon, God bless you, I was able to watch, I sat down and watched about 4 episodes of Strangers with Candy online.
That's a good one.
Uh-huh.
I went and rewatched the episode of 30 Rock where you guest starred as Kenneth's blind love interest. I sat down and started watching Arrested Development again. And for you geeks out there, and I'll call you a geek if you like Arrested Development.
That's true. Yep, that's true.
And it's hugely popular, so geek is not insulting. But Miss Thayer here plays Tracy Bluth in a very short little snippet on the new season of some like pre-taped flashback of the poor deceased mother of George Michael, actually in a very important part. I've got to hand it to you.
I was pretty excited about that.
That is something, even if it's just a few moments on screen, that has got to be a jewel in the crown. And
can I tell you about the what?
Now, there's all these rumors about the movie, and I could see a nice extended flashback or something, which would involve Tracy finally getting her on screen time. Tell me, they've got to be talking to you.
From your lips. I don't know anything about it. I was really excited to get the part. You know, I didn't, they called me and I didn't, when they call you, you don't know what part you're playing. I don't even know if I knew send you anything. They don't know what part you're playing. You know, I'd never auditioned for them before. And so I came to set and then they told me who I was playing, and I was so excited because I was a huge fan. And so it was like, I knew who that was. I knew who Tracy Bluth was. I'd watched all the seasons. I'd wondered about who she was. So it was really fun to do that.
Oh, I'm not going to say I'm jealous because I personally didn't audition for it, but I think that is so awesome. I mean, if there is going to be one cameo that you can be known for, that's got to be one of the big ones, at least in my book.
Yeah.
I'm a huge
fan. Yeah, thanks. Well, thanks. I'm a huge fan of that show.
Well, and I would have to add to that is that if you looked at all the different shows and the cast of characters, who you played, but also who you played with as well. You know, so all these guys with Strangers with Candy. There's Stephen Colbert. Mm-hmm. There's Sedaris' sister.
Yeah, Amy Sedaris.
Amy Sedaris. And
Paul Dinello did a lot of stuff, too.
The first time that I can that I saw you was in a movie called Accepted. Doing that one? Yeah. And
I blacked out during that time. No, I remember doing that one.
Well, and you know, and if you were to go back and watch that again, look at the cast, the up and coming people that you kind of starred with there. Can you kind of take us through that experience working with
we've got Justin Long. Jonah Hill, Lively.
Lively. I think it was Jonah's second movie. I think he had done a little part in I Heart Huckabees. And I think he had gotten that sort of because he was friends with somebody's, what'd you say? He just sort of lucked into it. But he was so funny, and I remember just feeling like he was so unafraid. Like I'd done Strangers with Candy, you know, I'd gone to school for acting, and I was so, it's just like nervous and wanted to do a good job. And he would just there's this whole machine of making a movie and all this money. Like I'm always conscious for some reason of like how much everything, maybe because my family we're not like super wealthy, but I'm always conscious of like how much everything costs. So like when I hear like 1 minute of film, every time we roll the camera, it costs like $10,000. I'm like, oh my God, I got to make this $10,000 worth. But he would just ruin takes by like swearing. You know, something we could never put in a movie. But it was fun. Justin, I didn't know, but I feel like I knew his work before that. He was probably the most established person. And Blake was just I went to her 18th birthday party, which was like candy themed. I remember it was very fancy. It had a chocolate fountain. And just more candy than anyone could ever ingest.
that sounds really hot, by the way.
Yes. I got some images on Google right now.
What'd you say?
We'll have to look for some images on Google of this mythical candy party.
Of this 18-year-old
I'm very
Blake
sorry I missed.
Oh, my God.
Do you still stay in touch with that? I mean, I'm not saying that everyone becomes a pen pal the minute they work together on a movie, but, you know, these people are all, like, on their way up, and they're you could argue they're still on their way up, but do you ever hear from them now, or do they feel like they're in another strata?
No, I see Justin more than anybody probably. I did other stuff with Jonah after that. I think we were in Hawaii together for Getting Sarah Marshall. But Blake, I just follow her career on Google Images.
That's the only thing she lets me do.
It's crazy to know her when she's such a, like, and go to her candy party, and then now she's like very sophisticated. But she's always like a very sweet person, very sweet lady.
Well, I'll be the judge of that when I finally force my way into her house.
Oh my god.
This is intimidating.
I'm gonna stop talking about Blake Lively because.
Do you know where she lives?
I know.
Won't return my calls. Do you have any? All right. Yeah. Before I.
You know this is being recorded, don't you?
This is totally being recorded. I'm actually on the phone with the lawyers. There you go.
That's fun out of control. Well, as long as we're talking about horrible, inappropriate things. I want to throw out a question for you.
I'm so afraid.
I'm not sure exactly how crass or inappropriate this is. In fact, it's such new territory to me. But
it sounds like it's going to be horrible. Okay.
Well, do you think there's a bias in Hollywood, or maybe in the world in general, against gingers?
No, gingers are like the new thing. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Are gingers the new thing?
Yeah, I actually just saw on. Yahoo News or whatever, there's like this like cult following now, like this camp now where all these gingers all get together, and it's like, you know, it's out in the woods up in Washington State or something. So have you been a part of these, you know, these meetings?
No one has invited me. I'm not friends with any redheads, so no, I'm just kidding. It is actually sort of, it always has been a club, like when I walk,
The self hatred in the ginger community is a blight.
That's so embarrassing.
When you would walk down the street, when I lived in New York and you walked down the street and I saw a redhead, you'd sort of like, there is like a little club, like, hey, we're both redheads, which is like a little shake of the head. Greeting.
It's like kind of like you own a Jeep and like when you're driving a Jeep and you pass another guy in a Jeep, you kind of go, hey, what's up? You know,
is that true?
Yeah. I like drove a Jeep for like 4 or 5 years. And every time I drove another guy, if I was driving one way, another guy had a Jeep, it's always just like this one little look. You just kind of like, oh, you're in the club, you know?
Oh, I hope I have some snubbing.
That's nice. The instant friends.
Exactly. So we're just kind of wondering about this whole ginger kind of community, or is it more like an uprising? Are you guys going to take things over?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen the South Park ginger. I hated being a redhead when I was a kid, and then as an adult, I'm okay with it. It's sometimes good. I feel like I'd be a lot shyer if I didn't have red hair, because people talk to you when you have red hair. But
can you kind of elaborate on that? How do you think that's happening?
Or do you think just the pickup line?
Yeah, what is that?
Well, no, because it's not just like guys. It's like you guys. It's people that I assume don't want to sleep with me, like old ladies and just like people say like, "Oh, you're a my uncle had red hair," or it's just like, something. I don't know. It's just, I guess it's just something to talk to. It's like something immediate. I always have, what is that thing called? Like when you put something on your outfit so people will always have something to talk about with you, like a little statement piece or something, like a pin or something.
Like flair
or something. Yeah. So like I have flair going out of my head. So whether I want it or not, it's there. But when I was, I've never. Well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say a club foot or a hair lip would probably do the same thing. So you kind of got off easy then.
That's right. That's
yeah. Yeah, I did. I did. That's why I grew up to be a very shallow person.
Yeah. Instead of just nodding to other club-footed people walking around.
yeah, but I need to check out this. Was that part of your research, or did you hear about this for this interview, or did you hear about it earlier?
Well, no, I
swear I keep reading articles. They're all like from the BBC, though. I think over in England, Scotland, and stuff, there is.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's just because. There's little diversity.
Right, well, it is.
There's a
theory that within our lifetimes, basically, well, our next generation, right? Our kids within their lifetimes,
yeah.
There will be no more redheads. Like you guys are.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
I hadn't heard about that.
It feels like as a redhead, you should marry another redhead just to.
Yeah, you guys got to keep it going. Well, because.
Well, now we're starting to cross.
Well,
lines.
The thing is now, redhead women are beautiful. You have the red hair. Usually, you have some big blue or green eyes. You have the freckles all over. You're light skinned, so it's beautiful, and I encourage it completely. However, redhead guys, they're the total opposite. They're freaky, kind of weird. A lot of them have like the red eyes. So no, I don't see you.
Red eyes.
I don't think that's going to work out. I'm actually kind of thinking of that little redhead guy that's on
Ethan?
a Christmas Story. I always think of that guy. He's like the typical redheaded guy in my mind.
Oh, yeah. I thought maybe you were confusing him with albinos.
No, they have white eyes, don't they?
What?
But no. Okay, so look, there is a really
No, I know. I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Go ahead.
Eric Stoltz. I feel like guys have Eric Stoltz for, like, hot redheads.
Ooh. Yeah, he's a good-looking guy.
There you go. Rocky Dennis.
Rocky Dennis is not a
flicker. Wow. That wasn't his cutest moment.
But it showed his dedication. Go right out there.
Yeah.
God bless.
Real
him.
Method
Very
actor
brave.
There. Way to go. Wow.
Well, yeah, the point I was making is apparently there's a real bullying problem over in the UK.
The only time I've been bullied bullied as an adult was in the UK by this little kid. I was walking down the street and he was like, "Ginger," to me. He must have been like, I couldn't believe what was happening. It was just him and me walking down the street. It wasn't even like a group of people. I mean, a group of like kids or anything. He just took it upon himself to harass me. An adult.
That's what I'm talking about. It's apparently in the UK at least, it's dangerous to be a ginger. I think you should have just did you kick his ass?
No, I didn't. I did the same thing that I did when I was a kid, which is I pretended I didn't hear him.
That's awesome.
Oh, that makes me a little sad, but well, I have to say, I've got nothing against gingers. I love redheads, and I had a crush on you from Strangers with Candy onward. So if I saw you on the street, I wouldn't scream ginger. I'd probably scream something.
Oh, good. You beat that kid up, right?
Oh, I would chase him around a block and throw him under a lorry, whatever they got out there. All right. Well, we should probably start wrapping this up. I feel like we've taken your whole day. But I do want to mention that when we talked to Jason Moliner and Andrew Weinberg the other day, we tried to convince them that there's actually a bitter rivalry between Eagle Heart and NTSFUSUVSD, whatever the Paul Scheer show.
Is
there any truth in that rumor? And second, have you heard that rumor come back to you yet? Is it taken
root? Are you the ones that made up that rumor?
We like to think we reported on the rumor if it's taken off.
or do you have anything bad to say about them? That's actually what we're trying to.
We'll give you a platform here if you just want to tear in.
About that show or about Paul or. It's going to be real boring. I don't have anything bad to say about them. Really nice people. I wish that there was more crossover. I think Brett was on the show this past season on NTSF. I do wish I could SUV. Wish that I could say their name one time correctly.
That's right. Well, they dare us not to, so I'm not going to. That's their own fault.
Yeah, that's
damn
right.
It.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It's not easy and quick and fun like Eagle Heart. So you
what
know,
you,
secretly,
what
we're
you...
on your side.
So you're trying to make a rivalry.
Well, I'm just reporting the facts as I wrote them down earlier.
So, where did you get these facts, though? That you got them from?
I don't
your...
have time to research everything
uh-huh.
I make up.
Uh-huh.
Lots of stuff to do. So yeah, if you're not going to help us get this this fire burning, well, we'll just lie and say you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Edit this out.
Yeah, we've got to get Paul Scheer on.
Edit Sunday. Something together. I probably said something bad about somebody.
Yep.
And
I know.
Can,
I've
you
got one
F Paul Scheer's name to it.
I like it. Just got you saying Paul Scheer. All right. I think we've got everything we need.
We got it here.
We can Twitter more and even maybe a ransom note if we need to. All right. Well, thank you so much, Maria.
All right.
And
thank you. Nice to meet you guys.
And thank you for taking time out of your day and also giving me an excuse
pleasure.
To watch my whole afternoon on Netflix with Strangers with Candy, Arrested Development, Eagle Heart.
Accepted. That's a good movie.
And accepted.
I've been lucky to be on some great shows. I really, those are the good ones, too.
Well,
so I'm glad you enjoyed.
You're Tracy fucking Bluth. So rock on. Never forget it. Yeah, hold your red.
After that, I kept seeing Michael Cera, just different places, like out, and I always felt instantly so old because I played his mom at a younger version. We were like hanging out with groups of people and felt like I don't know. I felt strange about it.
Well, yeah, he's gonna look 12 forever though. That's not entirely your fault. I think a lot of women go up and want to hold him like a baby anyway. Poor Michael Cera. All right, thank you so
All
much,
right.
Maria.
All right,
everybody,
thank you.
Catch
All
Maria
right.
on Eagle Heart, November 14th, Thursdays at midnight, season 3, Adult Swim. Look it up if you haven't seen it.
I'll be watching.
Oh, I know I'll be watching. 2 straight weeks.
Thanks,
thank you
guys.
Again, Maria.
All right, thanks,
thank
Maria.
You.
We'll talk to you later. Bye.
With the super sweet new cereal, Count Chocula. Bethel, here's the super sweet new cereal, Frankenberry. But I've got chocolate sweeties for monstrous chocolate flavor.
Well, I've got berry-flavored sweeties for monstrous strawberry flavor.
Count Chocula.
Frankenberry.
Count
Chocula. All right. Maria there. I like that. I think she was awesome. Marky, what are your thoughts on that little ginger?
I think she was a pleasure. You know, and it's funny because, like, the actual use of the word ginger to me, it always sounds a little kind of creepy.
Mm.
You know, it always sounds like you're kind of, you know, but it's not, you know, be like, oh, hey, you're a...
Well, you know, like, history will decide. I mean, we'll see if, you know, our grandkids aren't, you know, like rolling their eyes and trying to hide the hole in the ground every time we say, oh, look at that ginger over there.
Yeah, maybe.
Hanging out with an Oriental.
A Chinaman.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Right now it seems fun. We can just throw the word ginger around. 15 years ago, no one ever really, I don't know if the word,
well,
I assume it did mean it, but I didn't know.
It was, I mean, I always thought that it was associated with hot girl because of Gilligan's Island, right? Because it was Ginger and then Marianne.
Is that where the term comes from?
I don't know. I think it's because it's ginger color, you know.
Yeah, that was what I thought. I think it was, you know,
but
within
ginger,
the last decade, I heard the use of ginger meaning like redhead for the first time. I don't know how long it's been around.
I'm assuming it's been around forever, but I'm saying that the actual, what's going on in like my mind is ginger is sexy, glamorous, woman.
Well, I'll tell you what, Maria Thayer fits that bill.
I know, and you know what I actually meant to actually ask her about was she also does something that is really, really rare with the female species, and that's, I mean, I'm not even talking about the whole ginger part, but she does the little butt chin thing, the little dimple on the chin.
The cleft chin? Yeah,
no,
I don't think
cleft.
She does it. Well, no, that is the term, I think, yeah.
She has it,
yeah.
And oh, she's still, I mean, she's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's that, you pull that off. You know, that's saying something there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She is, I think, as the psychotic person might say, very symmetrical in the face.
I think she's just gorgeous and just really great to talk to. Oh, I did kind of screw something up, though. Jonah Hill, he is friends with Schwartzman, and I know that there is a connection between all of this. But when she asked, you know, how he kind of lucked into that role on I Heart Huckabees, it was because Jonah Hill was friends with Dustin Hoffman's kid. And then I guess he would go over to dinner and all that stuff with them. And then Dustin Hoffman was the one that basically put Jonah Hill into I Heart Huckabees. And then I guess that led into this incredible career. Now he's working with Brad Pitt, getting Oscar nominations and shit. You know, and deservedly so. He's an incredible actor, I think. You know,
I'm not saying that I wouldn't have been even better at every single thing he's done. But, yeah, more power to him.
I think you would not be better than anything he's done. That's ridiculous. Okay, so the theme of today's show. Adult Swim.
Adult Swim. I think, we talked about it earlier. We talked about it with Maria. I want to go back to the idea that it's a love it or hate it thing. Not a lot of people in between. I know you're not a big Adult Swim fan, but I think that you don't dismiss all the shows. You don't say, well, that doesn't make sense. I don't think it's very funny.
I like
and
what it stands
over
for.
In 10 minutes.
I do like what it stands for.
Yeah,
I'm glad that it's here. You know, and when I get a chance to, well, let me just kind of make a quick little note about this is that I actually just recently even got the connection with the terminology of Adult Swim. Let me explain.
Yes, please do.
Okay. I was in a hotel, and I travel a lot for my grown-up job, and it's a lot of hotels and such, and so. You know, I finally kind of figured out that when you say Adult Swim, what that means is kids out of the pool,
mm-hmm.
adults in the pool.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, you know, I never really thought of that. That never really came to mind. So even years ago when Cartoon Network started their nightly programming as Adult Swim, which is how I believe it all kind of started,
mm-hmm.
They started calling it that. And I just, you know, I really did not know that it has an actual root meaning, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think, I'm not trying to brag, but yeah, I think I got it much earlier on than you apparently, but
I got it like last Tuesday. Maybe, yeah.
Well, I think, what I associated it with was more, maybe I just wasn't hanging out at the pools as much, but, roller skating rink.
Oh,
everybody clear the floor. It's adults only, you know, so that, you know, back when roller skating was hip, you could get out there and do your fancy moves and you weren't going to,
run
you know,
roundhouse
a 6-year-old who kept falling down.
As you were doing your, you can dance.
Yeah.
You can I'm doing some like some gyrations right now. You guys can't.
Dude, there's a whole dance that goes along with it that only I was subjected to.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, everybody. The spirit of my bad dancing hopefully reaches you all. Yeah. So
but you're right. Yeah, that's yeah. It starts with the terminology, and that's what they're trying to get out there and say. And we talked about the history of it earlier on at the beginning of the show. But to go back to it, yeah, it did come out of repurposing old, I think it was Hanna-Barbera
mm-hmm.
cartoons and making them completely different. And it was something they knew they couldn't sell to kids.
Yeah.
And Cartoon Network wants to be on for 24 hours a day, but after 9 o'clock at night, you really shouldn't be showing kids cartoons. You know, I get, you know, gives the kids a reason to, you know, sneak downstairs or turn on their TV.
Yeah.
Parents just don't like it. So I said, all right, since we got this time, we got a bunch of extra footage and they're in dub over it. We'll give them that little slot. And that's what it turned into over the years. Now there's less and less even cartoons. You've got, I don't think they do any repurposed footage or anything. It's all original stuff now. And we are the ones who made, we the viewers are the ones who made it happen. So clearly there's some cultural significance, some reason for it to keep going and to keep growing the way it is. And in no small part is it the creative talents of this generation this who you keep saying we've got this fascination with not growing up.
Yes,
and I
that
think
is
you're,
my theory.
And I think you're accurate there, and I love discussing that. And these people made a living off of it. People like who you ask?
Who's it?
Well, people like, say, Jason Voliner.
Jason Voliner. Well, I think I've met this guy before.
You have. In fact, we taped an interview with him. As we mentioned with Maria Thayer earlier, he sat down with us a couple weeks ago, and we talked about Eagle Heart premiere Thursday the 14th, which is probably in the past as you hear this, but that doesn't mean you have any excuse not to watch Eagle Heart Thursdays at midnight, Adult Swim. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. I'm Grim Shea, joined as always by my co-producer, Marquee. Say hi, Marquee.
Hello.
And joining us today is Jason Voliner. He's a executive producer, writer, creator with Eagle Heart, season premiere for season 3, November 14th on Adult Swim, Thursdays at midnight. And we've got a lot of questions for him. Jason, how are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
No, really good. Really good. Thanks for asking. I know you don't have a whole lot of time, so we're going to try and tear through this. Before we get going, just to give people another clue who you are, Human Giant.
Yes.
Which MTV 6, 7 years ago?
Gosh, yeah, it was that show, I think it started in 2000, it ran 2007, 2008, so what is it, 2013? Well, how many years is that? That's a 5, that's about 5 years ago.
Okay, good, that's why I was asking. Good, I wasn't going to figure that
feels
out.
Like,
it was a totally different world then, too.
It was pre-9/11, I think, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Or it was pre-9/11, 2009.
It was pre-post-post 9/11. We
right.
were still a little tender. Yeah.
That's right.
We were innocent people at the time. We were an innocent nation.
We're still licking our wounds, I guess. And we needed a human giant.
Yeah. And and this was great because people, even if they don't remember, I admit I had to look it up on the old interweb myself just to refresh myself what it was. I remember the term. I said, oh, he was involved in that. And now I remember why it stuck in. Aziz Ansari.
Yeah.
Rob Hubel and Paul Scheer, all of whom, I think from Human Giant onward up till a couple years ago, were some of the guys on TV at least once a week on some major show where you go, oh, where do I know that guy from? And now finally
all of them
getting their breaks.
They were all doing various things on this show, Best Week Ever, on VH1. And then also we all were kind of in New York and kind of knew each other and just started working together and did that show. Yeah. And they're all doing great now. Everyone's doing well.
Yeah, I think. Well, and you were like the.
I think Paul might have died, actually.
Oh.
What's that?
Oh, is there a bitter rivalry between you and Paul? I mean, I hope this isn't a sore subject, but Eagle Heart and NTSF SDSUV. I hope I'm saying that right.
That's a mouthful.
Kind of similar.
Very similar. I mean, honestly, no, there isn't at all. We're still like he's one of my closest friends. But it was actually we were in New York at Comic-Con and doing like a panel last week, I think, to promote Eagle Heart. And someone in the audience, there was a Q&A, and someone asked if we were going to do a crossover, if we would ever do a crossover between our show and his. And you know, we said, oh, we're all friends. It just, you know, it hasn't come up yet, but it's something that could be a lot of fun. And then. Paul was actually in the audience in the back, and he stood up and started screaming, when will it happen? And very funny.
Okay.
I guess the fans have spoken. That's kind of lesson.
So we get Paul Scheer on the phone later. He's going to confirm this is all amicable.
Oh, you know what? If I were you, I wouldn't bring my name up to Paul.
You owe him money. That's what you're
going to say. No, it's really amicable. Yeah, we're all good friends. It's a very small world. But he's one of my oldest friends in show business.
Oh, well, an industry known for long friendships. and actually, well, who got their Adult Swim premiere first? Was it you or the NTSF guys?
It was us. I remember because we were shooting our first season, and NTSF started as a fake trailer in the middle of the show Children's Hospital, and so I believe they shot that while we were shooting. I think we were in the middle of shooting our first season, so I think we were on the air first.
Oh, that does make them smack of desperation.
Aren't you? What's that?
Well, it does make them seem a little desperate. So kudos to you. If there is a rivalry, I'm going to close
it. It's a very different show. They're kind of about, you know, procedurals and NCIS and CSI and those kinds of shows. And our show has, you know, started as kind of like an action show take, but is now, I think, just kind of insane and doesn't really even exist in that world so much anymore.
Yeah, well, you can probably blame a lot of that on Chris Elliott, who's got to be a joy to work with, but he is out there. I love Get a Life, and I think he's bringing that same kind of you don't know what he's about to say mentality to Eagle Heart.
Yeah, no, that's we think he's, you know, the funniest person, and the way he's described the character is, yeah, is what if the guy from Get a Life, you know, just for some reason became a U.S. Marshal, and so, because, I mean, a lot of the things we do on our show of just him being himself in this kind of crazy world where sometimes they'll be back in time, like, you know, or be, like, there's an episode of Get a Life called The Big City, where he was in this, like, very stylized black and white version of New York, and we've done silly things like that, and yeah, no, it's definitely in the same tone.
Well, maybe it's I don't know if it's like a conscious effort on you guys' part, but I noticed in the trailers for the third season, it's actually going to be a full story arc.
Yes, that was intentional. Yeah.
That seems like almost you're trying to ground it now a little bit, just to keep it from every week just floating away into, you know, guys in giant trucks kidnapping guys in small vans.
That was the idea that we really got excited about this year, was to see if we could keep the show as crazy, but also put in this one long story that would not necessarily make you care about the way that, you know, you would care about to see what happens on, like, Breaking Bad or something, but would keep people interested week to week and allow us to do just weirder things with it, but also have it kind of wrapped up in this one big story.
Well, you do the trailer perfectly. I mean, that is a spot-on blockbuster, and, you know, literally I wanted more when it was done.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
Well done.
We tried to do it like the trailers that I like, where it looks like something you want to see more of, but you really can't tell what's going on, which, I mean, there's things that are implied, but, you know, our favorite YouTube comments were like, this looks great, I don't know what the hell this thing's about. So that's kind of where we like to be.
Well, you're doing it. You've got me excited. And you know, you know, a show that would never have the balls to pull off something like that, NTSS.
I can't go there.
I promise you that.
It might.
I have yet to see a trailer this good.
We love those guys. That show's really funny. Are you trying to start a war? I got kids to feed. I don't actually have children.
He thought, no, I actually do have children.
Well, that's fun, and it's good to hear that you feed them.
I feed local kids, not mine. There's people trying to stop it.
That's good. I barely feed mine, so someone's got to be out there. His mouth, but it's funny you bring up kids, because
something I wanted to talk about.
You are a bona fide former child star, if I'm not
I'll
mistaken.
Say child actor. I think stars a stretch. Thank you.
Well, but if you break it down now, and this is why I say it for those listening, as Jason am I saying it right, by the way, Voliner, or is it Walliner?
Walliner. Yeah, I think Walliner.
All right, I lost that bet. Well, Walliner, if you're willing to say it, so am I. But Mr. Walliner was in a lot of commercials in late 80s, mid 80s, around the right time.
Mid 80s to early 90s. I was in I don't know, like 30 or 40 commercials, I think. Yeah, no, but I never nothing like the Mikey Likes It Kid or whatever.
Well, yeah, but I guess Mikey would have been a child star too, but these were not just any old commercials. You weren't just sitting in the back seat of the new Toyota Camry or something. You were in commercials for Legos, for Burger King, for McDonald's, and this is the one I want to get to, Teddy Ruxpin.
Teddy Ruxpin.
Daddy Ruxpin, which is, that is one of the few that are on YouTube. If you, it's a birthday party, a surprise party, and it's all the kids and their friend Teddy Ruxpin is a talking robot bear, and they bring in a surprise, and they unwrap him, and it's none other than Grubby, Teddy's friend, who is another creature of some sort, and they sing a song together. And if you watch that commercial, I there's a close-up of me, and I go, Grubby!
Immortal lines. You don't have to remind us.
Oh, okay,
we
yeah,
should,
sure
well, actually...
Aware.
I was going to ask, I didn't know which commercial, but we are actually kind of into the old Saturday morning cartoons kind of revival, how it's going in entertainment today. Well, I think, you know, Adult Swim arguably is a direct, you know, result of us growing up with those. But going into that so much on the show, we did do an exhaustive YouTube search for old commercials that would have been airing, and I had one particular Teddy Ruxpin commercial in mind that we, I think, even used some audio from. But it was mm-hmm. one, I think, where the kid, it's a show and tell, and the kid brings in Teddy Ruxpin, and the other kids are laughing at him because they say it's a teddy bear, and boom, you know, right as he's about
kid
to get
the gun to school.
It's play. Well, you no. really do see it in his eyes.
Yes, exactly.
If Teddy Ruxpin had magically started talking there, there would have been blood on the chalkboard. But, yeah, I guess in my heart of hearts, I was hoping perhaps I was talking to that kid. No offense to you, sir.
I'm so sorry to disappoint you.
He was Grubby, not Teddy Ruxpin, yeah. apparently. Yeah.
I was more of a Grubby man.
Well, you know what, and you should thank your lucky stars that it wasn't one of those little Chucky dolls. What was a little? Oh, it was a My Buddy. Those things were a joke.
Oh, those.
My
those
Buddy.
Were.
Those were big. And Kid Sister. Yeah, that was a song that was sung quite a bit in my house growing up.
Oh, yeah. Kid Sister.
Yeah, you got
now,
it.
Now it's fine. Yeah. Perfect. Well, tell me, you were a kid, from
was.
What I understand, yeah. even on camera, but you must have watched cartoons. Growing up,
I did watch a lot of cartoons. Yeah,
what was it like being the kid and half the commercials that were on in between the breaks? That I can't imagine that experience.
I don't remember it actually. I don't remember
even
it
like
all.
Your like friends and stuff at school. They're you know were they kind of teasing you, laughing at you, nothing like that.
What? I don't remember. I might have had like a horrible childhood because I don't remember any of it. I might have like blocked it out. I remember having a tape of commercials that had aired, but I don't remember ever seeing anything on TV. But I did watch a lot of TV and a lot of cartoons.
Well,
that's really weird. I've never thought of that before.
Huh.
That, well, like, something horrible might have happened to me that I'm trying not to remember.
I don't think, you know, a damaged child is going to be made to be excited about Grubby the way you clearly were. Maybe that's just
yeah, but they could have been, like, prodding me with something. I
yeah.
really don't remember any of this. The only thing I remember some disappointments of I was doing a commercial for, it was like Pop Rocks, I think. It was like a bunch of kids, and they were like, we need one kid to volunteer. And I raised my hand, and they're like, okay, you can go home. And they sent me home, and
no
I remember driving home with, like, my dad. He's like, why'd you raise your hand?
You just cost the family, like, their meals for a week. Way to go.
Pop Rocks money.
You could have been a Pop Rock star, and you blew it.
I had Pop Rocks last week for the first time in my adult life, I think. I was at this, like, you know... there's, like, foodie restaurants, like, where weird food stuff. They put weird, you know, weird food together with crazy ingredients. And one of the desserts had Pop Rocks in them, and it made your mouth fizzle.
Oh, I remember that well.
No, don't tell me. Was this one of those, like, molecular gastronomy $30
basically, yeah.
a helium
yeah,
balloon
was,
and a turkey? And oh, no. The real Pop Rocks experience was 7-Eleven for 40 cents.
And you put the whole package.
Yeah,
like you basically down the whole package, and it just goes crazy.
And it just crackles in your mouth.
Well,
you ever mix those with Big League Chew? The chewing tobacco for kids?
don't think I'd do that. No way.
I never did that. You easily could have talked me into it as a kid. I like
you do
to
it
think
now.
Nope, that's where adulthood came in. That's one of those arbitrary appears to have been drawn.
I would say that this is a reason why your station is on the air now is because we just kind of refuse to grow up, right? I mean, we're still kind of hanging up to that.
Yeah.
We're all watching cartoons. I mean, I own a Darth Vader helmet. You know, like, I mean, we just refuse to grow up. So a thing like Pop Rocks, I mean, I could see why that could still have a, you know, a market, a place.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and come out and admit it. About 2 minutes after this interview is over, I'm getting in my car. I'm going to the liquor store. I'm buying some liquor, but just to cover the fact that there'll be three packages of, I'm probably going to go strawberry Pop Rocks.
I doubt it.
Well, I hope they will. All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Jason. Let's again get in
a plug. Thanks so much for. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's been a pleasure, and I just want to reiterate, I'm not disappointed that you weren't the kid I was thinking of. I don't want to ruin
your
day. I'm still proud of you for being the grubby boy.
The grubby boy is very ashamed right now.
Oh,
come on.
No, don't do that.
We are very excited about your show. I actually just saw it for the first time yesterday. Looking forward to catching on it. And it's when can we catch the show again?
It's November 14th, if I'm not mistaken. Right?
That's correct. At midnight for 10 solid weeks.
10 solid weeks of not entertaining.
10 grubby weeks that NTSF could just never touch if they even tried.
All right. And then following that, he'll be working on the upcoming Human Giant reboot reunion. You heard
That's
it
right.
here first.
That's right.
We're doing
and,
it.
And good luck to you in your ongoing Twitter war with Paul Scheer.
Thank you. I hate him. I hate him.
There we go. That's the sound bite.
I wish him ill.
For some reason we wanted.
Is that what you people want? You want blood?
Yep.
Blood spilled?
Yep. We're just vultures. And finally you've laid down and died to us and allowed us to make up a room.
Well,
with a little luck, this will be the first one that sticks.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. I know I'll be tuning in once again, Thursdays at midnight. So technically it's Friday morning, November 15th, I think, but don't let that throw you.
That is true, but don't think about that.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks again.
See, hurting my brain.
Thanks,
All
Mark
right, thanks, Jason. Have a good
Take
one.
Care. Bye-bye. You
too. All right, thanks for sticking with us. That was Jason Wollner.
Wollner.
Don't make it worse. Jason Wollner.
That was a good time talking to him.
Yeah. It's interesting. I like to get kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff out of – I mean, these Adult Swim shows make almost no sense, just enough sense to be funny,
right,
in my opinion.
I think that's kind of
so
the
you
point.
Always kind of wonder, like, you know, what's it like to sit down and talk with these guys? Surprisingly normal.
Right. Well, I think the other kind of point here is that this is not a gossip rag, you know. We're here to kind of learn something.
That's right.
And, you know, we want to kind of, you know, take a peek behind the curtain and stuff, and we can tell that this show is going to be strange and different and weird because Jason is such. You
mm-hmm.
know? I mean, let's just...
My point is he wasn't that.
No, but I think there's a side to him.
There's obviously a creative spark there. But, yeah, it's not like all of a sudden in the middle of a sentence he said, and look at my hanky or something weird like that that you would see.
True. But that's only because no one carries hankies.
Yeah, and we tried to ignite the bitter rivalry, the feud between he and Paul Scheer. Start a rumor that they were at each other's throats. Their shows are too similar on the same network, and they came up from Human Giant together. We'll see if that sticks.
Yeah.
I've spreading the seed everywhere, and you know where else we do it? With our next interview.
Who's this again?
This is Andrew Weinberg.
Oh, I like this guy.
Yeah, we talked to him. He wrote for Conan O'Brien for many years, mm-hmm. Who is also a producer on Eagle Heart. He helped bring it to fruition. So we do ask him some important questions, like, is Conan a dick?
I assume he is.
Well, we'll just wait and get the answers right now. Join us, won't you please, in our pre-taped interview with Andrew Weinberg. All right, everybody, thank you for joining us. And I am Grim Shea, joined as always by Mark E. Say hi again to the people, Mark.
Hello again.
And we are all joined by Andrew Weinberg, writer for Conan O'Brien for many years.
I know that show.
A lot of people do, both shows, four or five shows he's got now. But I think let's ask Andrew about that before we get to talking about Eagle Heart. Andrew, when did you start with Conan O'Brien? What time slot was he in?
I started writing for that show in 2000 when he had the late night show, the 12:30 show on NBC. And I was there through the end of that show and through the entire seven-month run of The Tonight Show.
Oh, ouch.
We were actually going to save that question for later.
No.
Okay. I mean, since he brought this up, can you tell us a little bit about how that whole situation went? I mean, that was some juicy stuff.
Yeah, that was in the 9 years or 8 years that I worked at Late Night. The whole concept of job security had never crossed my mind. And then it didn't at The Tonight Show either. And then one day, you know, that bomb kind of dropped. And it really, I think it was only like a few weeks from the first mutterings to the show being over.
Yeah.
It was an interesting time. And yes, I had moved my family out here for the sole purpose of working on that show.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge geographical leap. Mm-hmm. It's not like you just went down the hall to a different studio at NBC in New York. This was a big thing
right.
for everyone involved. But but even like behind the scenes, were any of like you guys, the writers, maybe even the crew guys saying, you know, maybe to just keep quiet and move back to New York, maybe we can just get our old gig going? Or was it, you know, from the get-go, a united front saying, no, we can't be treated like this?
You mean, like, did Conan want his 12:30 show back, or did we all want to work on whatever show was then occupying that time?
I was kind of thinking, like, Conan, if anybody was saying, you know, Conan, maybe we shouldn't make a big deal about this. You know, we had a good time at 12:30.
I don't recall that being an option for him, because I think Jimmy Fallon had already taken over 12:30, and I'm sure he liked the idea of having a show. But he did have the option of moving the show to midnight, which he did not go for. And we all respected that decision. And I have to say, in full disclosure, that I knew that I was going to be starting the Eagle Heart show in a few months, so I was not, I saw everyone around me kind of freaking out. What are they going to do? They bought houses out here and moved their families out here, and I had to kind of pretend I had the same concerns, but I really didn't.
Oh, so, but at any point, did you go to the other producers and say, hey, what do you guys think about having 18 writers for Eagle Heart?
Yeah, we could pay them all about $14 a week.
yeah, not as much butter on that biscuit, I imagine. But, well, the transition into Eagle Heart, that's a good thing you knew ahead of time. And Conan O'Brien himself is listed as a producer, or at the very least, mm-hmm. it comes from his production company.
Yeah, he himself is an executive producer.
So that's probably still that.
That's why he's getting all that money.
That's that NBC money, I think, coming.
Oh, yeah. He digs into his own pocket all the time to keep this show going. But no, he's a great champion of the show, and he tells us all the time how much he likes it, and it's great to have that support. And, you know, we still see him and talk to him, so it's good to still kind of be in that family, and we are a family. Hello? Wow, they're really
yeah, we're here.
This is touching.
Really
I didn't expect this turn.
Keep on going. Okay.
Is he just supportive, or is he down there giving you story ideas? Is he down there telling you what to do a lot, or is he literally just a patron?
He's like our Lorenzo de' Medici. No, he's not involved with like the actual day-to-day production of the show or the writing, but we do show him, especially when the show first started and we were trying to figure out exactly what it should be. We show him some early cuts, and he gave us his opinion, which we valued greatly. And it turns out we had been making some mistakes. No, it's just the show, you know, it was the first season, there was a period of trying to figure out exactly what the show would be, and we, you know, myself and Jason and Michael Combe and the other co-creator and writer had an idea of what it was, and it was, we showed it to people and they had no idea what to make of it. So it took some time to figure out, what it should be.
You make it sound so diplomatic that I'm starting to be concerned that Conan O'Brien's a big dick.
I've been winking this whole time. Is this not right?
That's what I was picking up on. All right. See, someone seems that great on camera, you always wonder. Yeah, seems like kind of a dick. Seems like if I had my own show and he was a producer, he'd walk all over it.
Well, you know what? I saw that. It was like on Netflix or something. It was a show about Conan doing that like stand up like tour.
Yeah, like that.
Did you see this one?
Yeah, the documentary. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And man, did he just he does come off really rough on that one. Was that by design or is that just the way it is?
Like God's design. who made him that way? I don't know.
Really? Because that is hard. That is pretty hard.
He's... Sorry, go on.
No. We're asking.
He's like the funniest person, as you can imagine. And just, you know, getting to be around that in like a real world environment was always fun, and getting actually, like, you know, he does like to mess with people he likes. He likes to, can I say, shit on them. It was always a badge of honor when he would set his sights on you. But he enjoyed it. He enjoyed doing that. That's when he's at his best. And it was fun. He's a funny man.
All right. Mm-hmm. He's a funny, funny man. That's good enough for me. I'll leave
he's
it there.
Old man.
I actually have I have one more question about this late show thing. I'm always curious to know when these characters kind of come into play and who's the writer behind them. Like, are you responsible for the masturbating bear? Where kind of walk us through like the process of like creating these characters and, you know, do you follow the same lessons when you write a show like Eagleheart?
First, no, I'm not responsible for masturbating bear, but the guy who was, his name is Brian Rich, and he came in and wrote for Eagleheart, and he wrote an episode this season, and he's one of the funniest people. So he created the masturbating bear, and a guy named Michael Gordon is the masturbating bear. I've been in that bear suit, but as different kinds of bears.
So the suit got passed around.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've been less sinful bears.
Oh well, that's. You also notice you won't even name any of them. But we can't stop talking about the masturbating bear. Probably says something about us.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. And that's the bear everyone wants to be.
Yeah, deep down, I think it is.
It is incredibly funny.
Yeah.
What characters can we, you know, point at and say, that one's Andrew's?
I did a lot of, I'm trying to think what the setup was. Oh, it'd be like, Conan would say, like, that we have a lot of really smart comedy coming up and nothing just stupid and arbitrary. Isn't that right? And look, isn't that right? One of them was Cactus Chef playing We Didn't Start the Fire on the flute, and he cut to it.
I remember that.
Cactus.
Yeah.
Yep, that was mine. And I did a bunch of things to follow that template. There was a Fidel Castro rabbit DJ. There was a scuba diving meatloaf in a wheelchair. There was a bowling ball with an Einstein wig. I forget what his third. They all had like three parts to them.
These are all completely ridiculous. And I just want to know, is there like a process behind that, or does this just kind of come to you?
I mean, so I guess it sort of became like a formula.
Oh, so there is a process.
Just think of three unrelated descriptors or things and smush them together. But that was fun. I mean, those were always those kinds of really dumb, ridiculous things were always my favorite things to write.
Well, is there like a template? I mean, I know with season 3 coming out this Thursday at midnight, November 14th, that you're taking it into a kind of a different realm instead of these standalone or mm-hmm. surreal or hyper real situations. Every episode, there's going to be a story arc. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing recurring characters on a large scale. Is that indicative of the evolution of the writing process for Eagle Heart? Have you finally said, "All right, enough playing with these descriptive dice. Let's bat down and get really surreal with it"? Or,
well, there is definitely the same level of stupid, craziness that hasn't abated, but we've tried to, there's still plenty of that. There's still plenty of blood and exploding bodies. But, yeah, we just thought that keeping what we liked about it and what we think people like about it, the, like, dumb concepts and craziness, and just adding a continuing story on top of that, we thought could make it more interesting and fun for us to write because we had never tried that before.
Well, as a viewer, I will say that is what I like about it. I love the dumb setups, the, Chris Elliott being Chris Elliott, and I think you guys utilize him so well on that show. And, of course, I love violence. I love that you work it into the show so well.
Who doesn't? That's why.
Exactly. That's why I watch something on TV mm-hmm. that isn't porn sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
and so in my mind,
your
I think
porn doesn't have violence in it?
It does. Well, I assume it does at some point. I just don't watch very, very much in a row.
Yeah, it's usually
right.
Like a little.
Yeah, I haven't made it to the end of one yet. But I've got a large collection. We're working there.
Yeah.
But I wonder if the, you're almost kind of conscripting yourselves a little more with the idea of doing, a serial season, not that, I'm asking for all of America to tune in to see, Walter White at the end of the season for that. I still want it to be dumb and want to be able to miss a couple if I need to, but,
mm-hmm.
but as a writer, is it kind of better to give yourself some restrictions to say, all right, we have to touch these bases before this episode is up, kind of ground you a little bit?
I think that it helps, just like it helps having the construct of like Marshall's office, like any show has, it's based in like a family or a workplace or something. You have to have something that tethers it to a place or a group of people, or else it's, it can't just be like a Twilight Zone where every week it's totally new people, totally new place, which is kind of how the show was, where like every week it didn't matter what happened previously, everything just reset. But I mean, it was interesting and fun for us to kind of create this, the beginning of this story, and then try to see it through and work. I mean, and it's not like quite as intricate as like a Mad Men or Breaking Bad, where you have all these different characters with separate lives going on and they intertwine. Like, there's a small group of main characters, and that all their stories are pretty closely related. But yeah, and you know, we haven't watched the whole season all the way through yet. It'll be interesting to see if we were successful in doing this. We may well not have been, but well, we were.
Well, I'm even more excited to see it now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds silly still. You know,
yeah,
and that's kind of what
no,
it's
that's good.
To
yeah, I don't want it as complex as another Mad Men. So please, so yes, thank you for not going that far. Not that I think Adult Swim would let you get away with that anyway.
No, originally it was more complex and smarter than Mad Men and Breaking Bad, and we were like, "Whoa, guys, what are we doing?"
Hold it down.
Yeah, let's pull the brakes a little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
Tom
well, we appreciate that. My brain hurty. Breaking Bad.
I can't watch any more Breaking Bad. I was glad it's over.
You're not going to watch next season?
I will not watch any more Breaking Bad.
It's going to be on a secret station.
I'm not going to watch it anymore.
All right. Well, before we let you go, I just want to ask just a question in my mind. Does Chris Elliott ever improv on the set that you just keep in?
Yeah. A lot of... we don't have a lot of time to do those kinds of takes where we just mess around, but he definitely will come up with his own ways of saying things and phrases and little ticks and stuff that they're really funny, and that's what makes it really makes us laugh because it's unexpected and it's really just pure him, and he's the funniest.
Oh, good.
Period.
So it sounds like both Chris Elliott and Conan O'Brien are funny guys and not dicks.
No. They're not dicks. Okay.
All right.
I think we accomplished something today.
Good. We've learned.
We've busted that myth.
Thank you again for joining us. Andrew Weinberg, everybody, longtime writer for Conan O'Brien, busting out on his producing own with Eagle Hearts. Well, it's the season 3 premiere. He's been at it for a while. But November 14th, Adult Swim, Thursdays at midnight. Catch up. It's not going to give you a headache. You won't have to think too hard. We promise.
Mm-mm. No.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks
for joining us.
Thanks.
Okay, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us, and I promise we're almost done here.
It feels like we've done this over and over and over again.
That's life. Sisyphean myth.
Sisyphean?
Oh, you know exactly what I was trying to say, because
yes,
I don't.
I know. But no, that was what a great time. I do want to thank, I want to just kind of jump to the fact that we were just off, you know, and we were talking to Maria.
The lovely Maria Thayer.
She
was
lovely.
That was so fun. I got a big crush on her.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I think I let it slip. I don't think... She wrote down my phone number during the break. I think that was just pantomime and scratching noises she was doing.
Yeah, she's not.
But nonetheless, I got a chance to talk to her, and I feel good for it.
Yeah, she is.
She's hilarious.
Yeah, hilarious.
She's
talented.
She's very talented,
uh-huh.
And she's just fun.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
she is the quintessential cool chick. You know, like. You know, the greatest compliment that any woman can have, you know, as far as a man goes, yeah, she's just cool, you know. Isn't that what you want?
Damn right.
Yeah.
You know what, Maria? You're just cool.
You're just cool, and you're really just, yeah, she's just beautiful.
All right. We're going to get creepy if we keep going.
I know.
So let's,
I hate that.
And I also want to thank Jason Wallner, of course, the creator, writer, and Andrew Weinberg.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
It's always fun to get kind of a peek behind the curtain, a little look at the creative process.
Well, and that's really what
the
we're about
machinery.
Here. You know, we're not a gossip rag. You know, we're not here to kind of...
Unless you heard something.
Unless
like
you maybe...
the Twitter war between Eagle Heart and NTSFSUVDB.
It's not working. Nobody cares. I know. We're trying to start this thing, and it's just not working out. But we do want to thank these two for coming out and taking some time and telling us a little bit more about this show. I am a fan of the show. It's funny, it's witty, it's crazy.
Yep. And season 3 started, well, probably just started.
It's
November
just started.
14th.
Yep. Which means there's more episodes to come.
Just tune on Adult, get Adult Swim pumping at night, and I promise you they will replay it plenty of times.
Yeah. The purpose of this particular episode right now is to celebrate Adult Swim.
Thank you for being there, Adult Swim.
Thank you very much.
It's an important outlet. I think it was inevitable with the kind of our generation, our culture.
Right.
We've got to have more cartoons for grown-ups.
I think that it's even more than just cartoons, right? It's a release valve.
Yeah.
Right.
It all comes from growing up with cartoons.
Yeah.
And then it's turned into not a lifelong obsession, but it's changed our entire generation's kind of sensibilities.
Yeah. Mm.
And we won't let it go. I don't care how much they beg. I will keep going on and on about it. But I'll stop for today.
And why are you stopping?
Oh, look around you, Mark. The light's coming in through the window.
No.
The cereal is all soggy and congealing.
I should have finished.
I'm changing the channel. All I can find is college football.
Oh, no. It's not Notre Dame again.
I do believe we're looking at the end of Saturday morning this week. But you know what? You can meet us here at the couch next week. We've got a bowl of Chocula. You bring out your kicks or whatever your mom lets you have. We'll swap. We'll trade. We'll watch TV for hours, and we'll talk about the good old days. Marky, did you learn anything?
Not really.
That's good. That's good. We didn't want to push the limit.
It's just Saturday morning. I'm not learning shit.
All right, everybody. We'll meet you on the couch next week. Have a good weekend.
We'll be right back.
Oh, this is enough of this.